be honest, command line tools, they're like the unsung heroes of the tech world.
Absolutely.
But sometimes, oh man, their output, it's rough. It's like staring at a raw data dump, trying to find that one little nugget of information you need. Whew.
I feel that. It's a common pain point for sure, especially when you're trying to, build scripts, automate things. Suddenly you're neck deep in grep, awk, said. It gets messy fast.
It does. It really, really does. So thank goodness we're talking about JCs today, right?
That's right. Think of JC as that missing link. It bridges that gap between, the beautiful simplicity of Unix and that structured world of JSON. So elegant.
Okay, hold on. Back up for a sec. So JCs takes like the output of my favorite command line tools and turns it into JSON. That sounds amazing.
Exactly. And it's not just like your basic Ls or PS. We're talking dig is config, vert, even for those virtualization fans out there. We've got some great material to dive into today, by the way. Blog posts, discussions from Kelly Brazil. He's the creator of JC. And oh, we've got some lively debates from Reddit and Hacker News. It gets a little spicy, but that's what makes it fun, right?
I love it. So our mission today is to figure out, does JC actually live up to the hype? Is it really this magical command line translator?
Let's find out.
Okay, so Kelly Brazil, the creator of JC, he describes himself as, and I quote, a cybersecurity and cloud computing nerd.
Oh, I love that.
Right, instant credibility. What was it that sparked the creation of JC? What was his aha moment?
He talks about just hitting this wall, constantly having to write custom parsers for the simplest tasks, and it just hit him. This goes against the whole Unix philosophy. Small, reusable tools are great, but when you chain them together, you end up with this tangled mess of unstructured output.
You spend more time wrestling with the data than actually using it. Okay, but let's be real. Not everyone's in love with JSON. Some people find it, I don't know, a little verbose. Some prefer their trusty custom scripts.
Right. And there are definitely cases where a custom parser is the best tool for the job, no doubt. But the beauty of JC is that it gives you this consistent, standardized way to interact with that command output.
So instead of reinventing the wheel every time, you've got this go-to solution.
Exactly. And plus, let's face it, the trend is definitely moving towards more JSON output in command line tools anyway.
It is. It is. Okay, enough talk. Show me the magic. What's a real-world example of JC in action?
All right, picture this. You're trying to get the IP address for a domain. So normally you'd run digexample.com and you get this wall of text, right? But with JC, you just add it to the beginning. JC digexample.com. Boom. Beautiful structured JSON ready to be used.
No more squinting at the terminal trying to figure out where that one piece of information is hiding. What about something like ifconfig? I swear, that command always makes me want to pull my hair out when I'm just trying to get the IP address or MP address.
Same here. But with JC, you get this clean JSON object. Everything is clearly labeled. Makes life so much easier, especially when you're building automation scripts. Think about Ansible, SaltStack, Nornir. They all thrive on structured data. JSON is their love language.
Okay, now we're talking. It's like JC gives you these superpowers for manipulating command line data.
Right.
But hold on, I keep seeing these mentions of streaming parsers. What are those all about?
Ah, that's where things are even more interesting. Imagine you have this fire hose of data, like logs streaming in real time. Instead of trying to collect everything first, a streaming parser lets you process the data as it's flowing.
So you can react to information immediately.
Exactly. Or if you're dealing with data sets that are way too large to fit in memory, it's a game changer.
Okay, brain officially overloaded. So JC can handle both like static command output and these continuous data streams.
It's a versatile little beast, that's for sure.
It really is. Okay, let's circle back to the Unix philosophy for a minute. We talked about how JC is trying to bridge this gap, but I'm curious about the pushback. Not everyone was thrilled about this, right?
Oh, yeah. There were some strong opinions. Some people felt like writing custom parsers is like a rite of passage. It's all about understanding your tools, having that granular control.
But isn't there a danger in that? Like, custom parsers can get brittle, hard to maintain, especially if a command changes its output format.
Yeah, that's the thing. JC's offers a more robust, maintainable solution. It's like future-proofing your scripts, especially for large projects or teams.
Consistency is key, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, sold on the consistency argument. But I'm also curious about alternatives to JSON. I saw some chatter about YAML, even CSV. Why not use those?
Well, it's always about picking the right tool for the job, right? JSON is great for its simplicity, wide support, but it does have limitations. Like, it doesn't have native support for dates and decimals, so you have to work around those.
Ah, okay. So YAML, it's more expressive. It has built-in support for different data types, but
It can be a bit more complex to parse.
and not as widely supported.
Right. Plus, Kelly Brazil makes a really good point about consistency. Having one standard like JSON just makes it easier to build tools and workflows that can handle all sorts of data.
Okay, I get that. You don't want to end up with a zoo of different data formats, each one needing its own special parser.
Exactly.
But speaking of specialized parsers, what about using machine learning for this? Is that just a pipe dream, or could we actually train an AI to parse command output?
Now, that's a fascinating idea. Imagine an AI that can figure out the structure of any command output, no matter how messy, and just turn it into beautiful JSON.
That would be revolutionary.
Right. But it would also be quite a challenge. Think about the training data you would need, the computing power.
And accuracy, could you really trust an AI to get it right every time?
Good point. As someone in the Hacker News discussion said, it might be overkill, like using a sledgehammer to crack a nut.
Right. Sometimes the old-fashioned rule-based parsers are just the way to go.
Exactly.
But hey, maybe someday we'll have these AI-powered parsers that are super fast, super accurate, and can handle anything we throw at them. A techie can dream, right?
Absolutely. We can dream big. But until that day comes, we have tools like JC bridging that gap between the old and the new and making our lives a little easier, one JSON object at a time.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, but before we get too cozy with JC, I want to dig a little deeper into the JSON format itself. I mean, we've touched on its strengths and weaknesses, but it deserves a closer look, don't you think?
I agree. Understanding the ins and outs of JSON is crucial, especially if you're going to use a tool like JC effectively.
Exactly. So, in the next part of our deep dive, we're going full JSON. We'll break down its structure, look at its limitations, and see how it fits into that bigger world of data management.
This sounds like a plan. It's time to separate the JSON facts from the JSON fiction.
Stay tuned, folks. Things are about to get JSON-y.
And a lot less messy than staring at raw command output.
Okay, so we've seen JC in action, and
Yeah.
I'm starting to see the appeal, but before I like go all in on JSON,
Sure.
I want to understand its strengths and weaknesses,
Yeah.
a bit better. It's not like it's the only data format out there.
Right,
Like,
right. It's not the only one, no.
well,
JSON definitely has its pros and cons. You know, it's like that versatile kitchen knife
oh, okay.
that you reach for, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
It's great for everyday tasks, but maybe not the best choice for every single culinary challenge,
Okay.
you know.
I like that analogy. So let's break it down. What are JSON's biggest strengths? Like, why has it become so popular?
Well, one of its key advantages is its simplicity. JSON is human readable and relatively easy to understand, even if you're not, you know, a programmer. It's based on a small set of data types, you know, objects, arrays, strings, numbers, booleans,
Right.
which makes it pretty straightforward to parse and generate.
Makes sense, yeah. No need to decode cryptic symbols or memorize like complex syntax rules. But isn't simplicity sometimes a double-edged sword? Can JSON handle complex data structures without getting like too messy?
It can handle complexity, but it's true that you might end up with these deeply nested objects and arrays,
Yeah.
which can become a bit unwieldy.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us to one of JSON's criticisms, its verbosity.
Okay.
So compared to something like YAML, JSON can feel a bit long-winded, especially when you have a lot of repeated keys.
That's a good point, yeah. YAML is definitely more compact and can be more readable for certain types of data.
Right.
But I guess it comes down to a trade-off between conciseness and support, right? Because JSON seems to be everywhere these days.
That's right. I think that's probably its biggest selling point is its wide support.
Yeah.
Pretty much every programming language and platform has libraries for parsing and generating JSON. This makes it incredibly versatile and portable.
Right.
You can easily share JSON data between different systems and applications without worrying about compatibility issues.
Yeah, that's a big one. Okay. Wide support means less friction, fewer headaches when you're trying to get things done.
Exactly.
But hold on.
Yeah.
Didn't we see some complaints about JSON's handling of dates and decimals?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like a pretty big limitation for a data format.
You're right. That's one of the weaknesses.
Okay.
It doesn't have native data types for dates, times, or decimals. This means you have to represent them as strings, which can lead to some ambiguity and potential parsing errors if you're not careful.
So it's not a perfect solution. Are there any workarounds for this issue? Or are we just stuck with these limitations?
Well, there are conventions and best practices for representing dates and decimals as strings in JSON.
Okay.
for example, using the ISO 8601 format for dates and specifying the precision of decimals. But it would definitely be nice if JSON had built-in support for these data types.
Right, right. Maybe in a future version of JSON. JSON 2.0 with dates and decimals.
One can hope. But for now, we have to rely on these conventions and be diligent about documenting our data formats clearly.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that can trip up even experienced developers if you're not paying attention.
For sure. For sure. All right. So JSON has its quirks, but its simplicity and wide support make it a solid choice for many use cases. But let's zoom back out to the bigger picture for a moment. We talked about the Unix philosophy and how JC tries to bridge the gap between these traditional command line tools and the need for structured data. Do you think this tension between old and new is something we'll continue to see in the tech world?
Oh, absolutely. The tech landscape is always changing. And we often see these clashes between established paradigms and emerging trends.
Right.
You know, think about the shift from monolithic applications to microservices or the rise of serverless computing. These are all examples of how the industry is adapting to new challenges and opportunities.
So JC is not just a tool. It's like a symbol of this broader transition. It's like a microcosm of the tech world's growing pains.
That's a really insightful way to put it. JC represents this ongoing negotiation between the simplicity and power of the Unix philosophy, you know, and the need for more structured, machine-readable data in modern workflows. It's a reminder that evolution isn't always about completely discarding the old ways, but finding ways to adapt and integrate them into the new.
I like that. That's a powerful message. It's not about choosing sides. It's about finding the right balance between tradition and innovation.
Okay, enough philosophy for now.
Sure.
Let's get back to the practicalities of JSON. We saw some mentions of JSON Lions, also known as NDJSON, in the Reddit discussions.
Oh, yeah.
What's the story there? Is it just a fancy name for regular JSON?
Not quite. JSON Lions is an interesting alternative to traditional JSON, especially when you're dealing with large data sets or streaming data.
Okay.
Imagine you have a file with millions of JSON objects. Parsing that as a single JSON structure could be slow and memory intensive.
Yeah, I can see that being a problem.
Right.
So how does JSON Lions solve this?
Well, JSON Lions is basically a way of representing a sequence of JSON objects, one per line.
Each line is a self-contained JSON object. So you can process them individually without having to load the entire file into memory.
Ah, so it's like streaming JSON. You can process it line by line, just like a text file.
Exactly. This makes JSON Lions ideal for working with large data sets, logging systems, and any situation where you have a continuous stream of JSON data. And it plays nicely with JC's streaming parsers.
No, okay.
Remember that fire hose analogy?
Yeah.
JSON Lions is like having a series of neatly labeled buckets coming down the fire hose instead of one giant unwieldy mass.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
So JSON Lions is all about efficiency and scalability when dealing with lots of data.
Right.
But if each line is a separate JSON object, doesn't that mean you lose the ability to represent relationships between objects?
That's true. You do lose some of the hierarchical structure that you have with traditional JSON.
Yeah.
But often that's a trade-off you're willing to make for the performance benefits.
Right.
And there are ways to represent relationships between objects in JSON lines. For example, by using unique identifiers or timestamps.
Gotcha. It's all about choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
Sometimes you need a Swiss Army knife. Sometimes a simple sharp blade does the trick. I'm starting to appreciate the versatility of the JSON ecosystem. You know, it's not just a one-size-fits-all solution, but like a family of formats and tools that can be adapted to different needs.
Right.
But you know what always makes me nervous when it comes to data formats?
Let me guess. The lack of standardization.
Bingo. We saw that discussion about dates and decimals in JSON.
Yeah.
It seems like every developer has their own way of representing these things.
Yeah.
Isn't that a recipe for disaster?
It can definitely lead to interoperability issues if you're not careful. That's why, you know, clear communication and documentation are so important when you're working with data, especially across different teams or organizations.
Yeah.
But there are efforts to improve standardization in the JSON world. For example, there are JSON schema specifications that define the structure and validation rules for JSON documents.
So it's like having a blueprint for your JSON data. That sounds like a good way to prevent like misinterpretations and ensure that everyone is on the same page.
Exactly. And as the JSON ecosystem matures, I think we'll see more tools and libraries that support these standardization efforts.
Right.
It's all about making JSON more robust and reliable, especially for mission-critical applications.
Right, right.
Speaking of mission-critical,
yeah.
Did you see that comment about using machine learning to parse command output?
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting one. It sounds futuristic, but is it really practical? Couldn't using machine learning for this kind of task be overkill?
It depends. For simple parsing tasks, a rule-based approach like JC is probably more efficient and reliable.
Right.
But for complex or highly variable output, machine learning could potentially offer some advantages. Imagine a system that could learn to parse the output of any command, regardless of its format or structure.
Yeah, that would be incredibly powerful.
Right.
But I can also see some challenges. Training a machine learning model for this task would require a massive data set of command output and a lot of computational resources.
A lot.
Yeah.
and let's not forget about accuracy and explainability.
Yeah.
You know, machine learning models can be black boxes. It's not always clear why they make certain decisions.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about using them in situations where reliability and transparency are critical.
Right.
But hey, maybe someday we'll have AI-powered parsers that are as reliable and easy to use as JC. It's exciting to think about the possibility.
For sure. Okay, so machine learning is a promising avenue for the future, but JC is the here and now. We've talked a lot about JSON, but I want to get back to the practicalities of using JC in real-world workflows. How does it integrate with other tools and platforms? We mentioned Ansible, but there must be other ways to leverage this structured data, right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the key strengths of JC is that it opens up a world of possibilities for integrating command line data into your workflows.
Okay, I'm all ears. Give me some concrete examples.
Well, for starters, you can use JC to pipe JSON data into other command line tools, like JQ. It's a powerful JSON processor.
Okay.
That lets you filter, extract, and manipulate JSON data with ease. Imagine you have a large JSON object representing the output of peas.
Right.
You could use JQ to quickly find the process ID of a specific process, extract its memory usage, or even calculate the total CPU usage of all processes.
So JIC is like the grep of the JSON world.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It helps you pinpoint the exact information you need from a sea of structured data.
Right, right.
And it's incredibly powerful when combined with JC. You can create complex queries, transform data, and even generate new JSON objects.
Wow.
It's like having a mini programming language for working with JSON.
That sounds incredibly useful.
Yeah.
But what about integrating JC with more visual or graphical tools? I'm a sucker for a good chart or graph.
You and me both.
Yeah.
And you're in luck because JSKey can help you there too.
Heck.
You can pipe JSON data into tools like Nuplot or Matplotlib to create all sorts of visualizations.
Okay.
Imagine taking the output of top, converting it to JSON with JC, and then feeding it into Nuplot to generate a real-time graph of your CPU usage.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Right.
You could visualize all sorts of system metrics, network traffic, security events. The possibilities are endless.
Exactly. And because you're starting with structured JSON data, it's much easier to create these visualizations than if you were working with raw text output.
Right.
You don't have to spend time parsing and formatting the data. You can just focus on creating compelling visuals that tell a story.
Data storytelling with the command line. I like the sound of that. and I bet there are like other data analysis tools that could benefit from JC-generated JSON, right?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Anything that can import or process JSON data can potentially be used with JC.
Mm-hmm.
Think about spreadsheets, databases, business intelligence platforms.
Oh, wow.
Even machine learning algorithms.
Yeah, yeah.
JC acts as a bridge, connecting the world of command line data to the vast ecosystem of data analysis tools.
All right, I'm convinced. JC is not just about parsing data. It's about unlocking the potential of that data and integrating it into our workflows in meaningful ways.
Exactly.
Yeah. But speaking of workflows, we can't forget about automation. We touched on how JC can be used with configuration management platforms like Ansible, but I'm curious to hear more about specific use cases. How does JC actually help us automate tasks?
Well, imagine you're managing a fleet of servers, and you need to ensure that certain security settings are consistently applied across all of them. You can use a tool like Ansible to automate this process, but you need a way to gather information about each server's current configuration.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. You could use JC to gather that information from the command line and then feed it into Ansible.
Exactly. You could use JC to parse the output of commands like uname, hostname, ifconfig, and others, generating a JSON object that describes each server's configuration. Then you could use this JSON data in your Ansible playbooks to define conditional tasks, variables, and templates.
So you're not just automating the execution of commands, you're automating the decision-making process based on real-time data.
That's pretty slick. What other automation scenarios can JC help with?
Oh, the possibilities are endless. You can use JC to monitor system logs for specific events and trigger automated actions based on those events. For example, you could monitor for failed login attempts and automatically block IP addresses that exceed a certain threshold. Or you could monitor for disk space usage and automatically provision additional storage when needed. It's like having a vigilant robot that's constantly watching your systems and taking action based on predefined rules.
I like the sound of that. A command line guardian angel. There you go.
Yeah. But let's be realistic. No tool is perfect, and JC is no exception. What are some of the challenges or gotchas that people might encounter when using JC?
Well, one potential challenge is that JC is only as good as its parsers. If a command changes its output format, the corresponding JC parser might break. This is where the JC community comes in.
Right.
It's an open source project, so if you encounter a problem, you can often find a solution or contribute a fix yourself.
So it's not just a tool, it's a community effort to keep pace with the ever-changing world of command line output. That's reassuring. What other challenges should we be aware of?
Well, another potential issue is performance.
Okay.
Parsing text data can be computationally expensive, especially when you're dealing with large data sets or real-time streams.
Right.
JC's done a great job of optimizing its parsers and implementing streaming capabilities. But if performance is a critical concern, you might need to consider other solutions.
Right. Sometimes you need to use the right tool for the job. But for many use cases, JC strikes a good balance between power, flexibility, and ease of use. And we can't forget about the Python library. That opens up a whole new world of possibilities for integrating JC into custom applications and workflows.
Absolutely. The Python library lets you embed JC directly into your Python scripts, which gives you a lot of control over how you process and manipulate the JSON data. You can use JC to parse command output, extract specific values, transform the data, and then use it in your Python code to perform all sorts of tasks.
So it's like having the best of both worlds, the power and flexibility of Python combined with the ease and consistency of JC.
Right.
That's a pretty potent combination.
It is.
Yeah. But before we get too carried away with all the amazing things we can do with JC, I want to address something that's been nagging at me.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we've talked about how JC can help us, you know, tame the command line and unlock the power of structured data. But in a world where more and more tools are offering JSON output as a built-in option,
right. Does JC risk becoming obsolete? Is it just a stopgap solution until all our tools catch up?
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
And it's one that I've been thinking about a lot lately. It's true that the trend is definitely moving towards more structured data formats in the command line world.
Yeah.
We're seeing more and more tools offering JSON output as a native option, which is fantastic.
So does that mean JC is destined for the dustbin of history?
Not necessarily. While it's great that tools are starting to embrace JSON natively,
right.
I think there'll always be a need for something like JC. First of all, we still have a lot of legacy systems and tools that don't offer structured output.
Yeah.
JC can act as a bridge,
right.
Allowing us to integrate these older tools into our modern workflows.
Right. The tech world moves fast, but it also leaves behind a lot of legacy baggage.
It does.
Yeah. JC is like a universal adapter that helps us connect the old with the new. Exactly. And even if all tools eventually offer JSON output natively,
yeah,
there's still value in having a consistent, unified way to parse and process that data.
All right.
Different tools might have different conventions or quirks in their JSON output.
Right.
And JC can provide a layer of abstraction that simplifies things for us.
It's like having a universal translator.
Exists.
For the command line.
Yeah.
You don't need to learn the nuances of each tool's JSON dialect. JC handles the translation for you.
Precisely. And let's not forget about the JC community. They're constantly adding support for new tools and formats.
Right.
So even if the command line landscape shifts dramatically, JC is likely to adapt and evolve along with it. It's more than just a tool. It's a community-driven effort to make the command line a more structured and data-friendly place.
I love that. So JC is not just a tool, it's a philosophy.
I think so.
It's a commitment to bringing order and structure to the often chaotic world of the command line. And it's a reminder that even in the age of AI and cloud computing,
right,
the humble command line is still a powerful and relevant tool.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the enduring power of simple text-based interfaces.
Yeah.
And with tools like JC, we can harness that power and make it even more accessible and versatile.
Right. Speaking of versatile,
yes,
there's one more aspect of JC that we haven't touched on yet. It's integration with other tools and platforms.
Okay.
We've talked about JQ and visualization tools, but what other integration possibilities are there?
Well, one area where JC can really shine, mm-hmm, is in the realm of system monitoring and observability.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, imagine you're running a complex application that spans multiple servers and services. Yeah. You need a way to monitor the health and performance of all these components, and you want to be able to visualize that data in a meaningful way.
Right. So you need like a central dashboard, yeah, where you can see all the key metrics and alerts.
Exactly. And this is where JC can be incredibly valuable. You can use JC to collect metrics from your various systems and applications by parsing the output, mm-hmm, of command line tools like Top, Free, Vimstat, Netstat, and others.
So you're essentially turning your command line into a data collection engine.
Precisely. And once you have this data in JSON format, you can easily feed it into monitoring and observability platforms like,
right,
Prometheus, Grafana, or Elasticsearch.
Okay, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. JC is not just about parsing data. It's about creating a pipeline,
yes,
that connects your command line world to the world of data analysis and visualization.
You got it. And this is where the real power of JC comes into play.
Yeah.
It allows you to leverage the vast ecosystem of monitoring and observability tools,
right,
to gain insights into your systems and applications that wouldn't be possible with raw text output alone.
That's pretty amazing. It's like JC is giving us X-ray vision,
yes,
into our systems. You know, we can see all the internal workings and identify potential problems before they become major issues.
Exactly. And because JC is so versatile, you can use it to monitor all sorts of things.
Yeah.
System performance, application logs, network traffic, security events, and more.
Right.
It's like having a Swiss Army knife for system monitoring.
Ah. Okay, I'm officially sold on JC.
Okay.
It's a tool that every sysadmin, DevOps engineer, or anyone who works with the command line should have in their arsenal.
Agreed.
Yeah. But now that we've explored all these different facets of JC,
yeah,
I want to bring it back to our listeners.
Sounds good. Let's connect the dots.
Yeah.
Make sure they understand how JC can be relevant to their own work.
Right. So dear listener, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've explored the origins of JC, its strengths and limitations, its relationship to the Unix philosophy, and its integration with various tools and platforms. But the key question is how can you apply this knowledge to your own workflow?
That's a great question. And I think the answer lies in recognizing the power of structured data.
Right.
Whether you're automating tasks, analyzing system logs, or building monitoring dashboards, JC can help you bridge the gap between the world of command line output and the world of data-driven insights.
And it's not just about JC itself. It's about embracing the philosophy of structured data and finding ways to incorporate it into your workflows.
Nice.
Whether you're using JC, another tool, or even writing custom parsers.
Right.
The key is to think about your data in a structured way.
Yeah.
And to use the right tools to unlock its potential.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. So as we move on to the final part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listener with this challenge.
Mm.
Think about the tasks you perform on a regular basis, especially those that involve interacting with the command line.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, how could you benefit from using JC or another tool that embraces structured data? How could it make your work easier, more efficient, and more insightful?
We'll explore some concrete examples and practical tips in the next segment. Stay tuned. Okay. I gotta admit, my mind is like officially blown,
yeah,
with all these JC possibilities.
It is. It's quite a tool.
It is. It is. But let's get down to, you know, brass tacks.
Okay.
Is this something I should be using?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And the answer is, of course,
yeah,
it depends.
Of course I should have known better.
It always depends, right?
But let's unpack that a bit. Who would benefit the most from adding JC to their toolbox?
So I would say, you know, anyone who lives and breathes the command line, especially folks who are like automating tasks or building tools that rely on command output.
So we're talking like sysins, DevOps folks.
Yeah.
Automation enthusiasts.
Right. Anyone who's just tired of like wrestling with grep and awk to extract meaningful data.
Right. So if I'm constantly writing scripts that involve parsing the output of, you know, Ella's, Diggy's,
yeah,
any of those classic command line tools, JC could save me a ton of time.
And headaches, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. It's like trading in your rusty wrench for a precision screwdriver.
Okay.
You know, you get more control, better results, and it's just plain easier to work with.
Right.
Plus, your scripts will be more robust and maintainable because you're working with structured JSON instead of like fragile text parsing.
Oh, for sure. And we can't forget about the integration with configuration management platforms,
right,
like Ansible.
Right.
It's like JC is the missing link between those powerful automation tools and the messy world of command line output.
Yeah. Ansible, SaltStack, Puppet, they all love JSON.
Yeah.
So if you're using those platforms, JC can really like supercharge your automation workflows.
Right.
You can gather information about your systems with JC, transform it into JSON, and then feed it directly into your, you know, your Ansible playbooks.
Yeah.
No more like awkward workarounds or fragile regex magic.
Okay, you've convinced me of the benefits, but but let's be real.
Yeah.
No tool is perfect.
Right.
What are some of the JC gotchas I should be aware of before I dive in?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, JC relies on parsing text output.
Yeah.
Which can be inherently fragile.
Right.
If a command changes its output format,
yeah,
the corresponding JC parser might break.
Right.
So, you know, that's something to be aware of.
So it's not like as bulletproof as having native JSON output from the tools themselves.
Right.
But didn't you say that JC is actively maintained and
yeah,
has like a plugin architecture?
It does. The JC community is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They're constantly adding support for new tools,
right,
and fixing any parsing issues that pop up.
Right.
Plus, you can even write your own custom parsers if you need to.
Wow.
It's like having an army of JSON ninjas at your disposal.
That definitely eases my mind.
Good.
But what about performance? I mean, parsing text can be slow.
Yeah.
Especially if you're dealing with, like, you know, a fire hose of data.
Right.
Could that be a bottleneck?
It's a valid concern, but JC has some tricks up its sleeve.
Okay.
It implements streaming parsers, which are designed to handle large or continuous data streams without choking on the volume.
Right.
Remember that fire hose analogy from earlier?
Yeah.
JC's like a super efficient firefighter handling the data flow with grace and precision.
Okay. Impressive. So it's not just for parsing static output. I can use it for real-time data processing as well.
You got it.
Okay, but let's step back for a moment and think about the broader implications of what we've discussed today. You know, we've talked about JC as this bridge between the Unix philosophy,
yeah,
and the modern need for structured data, but this isn't just about one tool,
yeah,
is it?
It's not.
It feels like we're witnessing a fundamental shift in how we interact with the command line.
I think you're right. Yeah. JC's is a symptom of a much larger trend.
Right.
It's a sign that the command line is evolving,
yeah,
to embrace the power of structured data.
Okay.
And I think this is just the beginning.
So what does this mean for the future of the command line? Are we going to see a world where every tool spits out JSON like it's going out of style?
It's certainly a possibility, and I think it would be a good thing. You know, structured data, it makes automation easier, it simplifies data analysis, and it unlocks like a whole world of integrations,
right,
with modern tools and platforms.
But let's be realistic, right? There will always be legacy systems and tools that cling to their text-based output.
Of course.
So is there a place for JC in that world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if every new tool embrace JSON.
Yeah.
We'd still need a way to bridge the gap.
Right.
With those legacy systems.
Right.
JC could become the Rosetta Stone of the command line.
Okay.
Translating between the old and the new.
I love that image. It's like JC is this universal adapter that lets us connect our shiny new data-driven world
Right.
with the gritty reality of existing systems.
Exactly.
And let's not forget about the human element.
Right.
Even if native JSON output becomes the norm, there's still value in having a consistent, human-friendly way
Yeah.
to interact with that data. JC can provide that layer of abstraction, making it easier for us to understand and manipulate the data regardless of its source.
Absolutely.
So JC is more than just a parser.
It's a
Plus,
philosophy.
it's a way of thinking about command line data.
Right.
It's about embracing structure, consistency, and human readability.
Right. It's a philosophy, as you said earlier.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes JC so compelling. It's not just a technical solution. It's a vision
Right.
for a more data-driven and user-friendly command line.
And that's a vision I can get behind.
I agree. So as we wrap up this deep dive,
Yeah.
I want to leave our listener with a sense of empowerment. We've seen the power of JC,
Yeah.
but it's just one tool in a larger toolkit.
Right.
The real takeaway is that you don't have to be a slave to the command line's output, right?
Yep. Yeah,
You have the power to shape it, to structure it, to make it work for you.
and you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
The JC's community is there to support you.
yeah
They've built an incredible resource, and
yeah
they're constantly pushing the boundaries of what's
yeah
possible
right
with command line data.
So go forth, dear listener, and embrace the power of structured data.
Exactly.
Experiment with JC.
Yeah.
Explore other tools, and don't be afraid to get creative.
That's right.
The command line is your oyster.
Happy scripting.
And that's a wrap for our deep dive into the world of JC. We hope you found it insightful and inspiring. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible with your data.